Here.
Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Everybody get your Bibles open here tonight. And, excuse me, we're going to study. You're welcome to help me, correct me, add, whatever. You got put your 2 cents worth in if you want to. This is Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. And this is a tremendous chapter, one of my favorite chapters in Ecclesiastes. And the biggest part of it is about putting out the Word of God. And the last part, of course, about facing it at the judgment. And so tonight, I'd like to encourage you, every person in here, to get some way, somehow in your life that you can put out the Scripture. I'm telling every teenager, every man, woman, doesn't matter if you work a public job or have to stay at home. Or we have people here work the public school system. We have people here that work the prison system. We have people here that work just out in these factories. Every one of you need to make up your mind that somehow you're going to put the Word of God out. All right, let's look at chapter 11, verse 1. And here the Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Now, you know, the bread is a picture of the Word of God. Jesus said, "Man not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." All the way through the Bible, bread is pictured as the Scripture, the Bible. And when you eat bread, it's a picture of you reading your Bible. And you won't live by bread alone. And so it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters." Can anybody tell me what waters typifies scripturally, spiritually in the Scripture? A bunch of water. You should know that. Somebody should. That's exactly right. Peoples, nations, multitude, languages. Over in the book of Revelation, always in the Bible, well, it's talking about bunches of water. That's a picture of people, just masses of multitudes of people. So we're casting our bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's a great promise. That's encouraging to me, because I went to a lot of places and preached where it honestly felt like it fell on deaf ears. I preached in a lot of places where I thought I have screamed my lungs out, nearly caught myself killed, burned my tires off, and got a sore throat and a headache, and I ain't got nothing done at home, and nobody even heard a word I said. It feels like that sometimes. You felt like that when you're at work, and you talk to people, and you talk to people, and you talk to people, and it just feels like a big waste. Well, the Bible said, "Thou shalt find it after many days." Now, there's a lot of stories about that. About people doing that literally. There's some fella, you might have heard of him, some fella used to put verses of Scripture, he'd take verses of Scripture like that, and he'd put it in bottles. Back when everybody used to do things, vinegar bottles or whiskey bottles or whatever, put the cork in it, and he'd take it down the Mississippi River and throw it out. And there are cases on record where that man has heard from I don't know how many different results from them and different countries. He got a letter from Hawaii. Man got a letter from Hawaii. Well, that thing went down in through the channel and out into the ocean, went around and wound up in Hawaii, brother. And the man read the tract and got saved. That's a literal interpretation of that verse. "Cast your bread on the water, for thou shalt find it after many days." I'd like for every one of us in here tonight not just say, "Well, we went to church Wednesday night and had a good Bible study." Let's start doing this more and more. Cast your bread out there. Quote that Scripture. And did you know this? It's easy to talk to somebody about coming to church. Why don't you come to church sometime? But quote them some Scripture. That's the bread. That's the bread. Remind yourself. Why don't you come to church sometime? We're in our new building. Well, that's all right. But say, you remember the Bible said, "Man shall not live by bread alone. Thou art the way, the truth, and the life." Put that bread out there. "Thou shalt find it after many days." I had a phone call yesterday evening from a young man up in Maryland. I did not remember him, still don't. He said he called Chris and got my phone number. And this boy is having serious trouble. I want y'all to pray for him. And he told me, he said, "Brother Danny, I used to come hear you preach." And he said, "You're still my pastor as far as I'm concerned." He said, "I learned more there." And I didn't even remember that boy. I didn't even remember that boy. He said, "I learned more Bible listening to you talk about the Bible and preach than I have any time in my life." And I don't even remember him. You know what I was doing? I was casting that bread out there on the water. Brother, he said he's coming back down here and coming to our church. Moving back down here. Isn't that something? Cast your bread on the water. I heard about a man who was in a house one time, and he looked on the mantle, and on the mantle looked like a big clam shell or an oyster shell with a piece of paper sticking out of it. He said, "What in the world's that?" And the man said, "It's a conversation piece." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm going to show you this." He said he was a diver, and he said people had always tried to get him to get saved, always tried to witness to him, and he wouldn't listen. And he said he was down on the bottom of the ocean swimming around and skin diving, and he looked and he saw that piece of paper sticking out of that oyster shell and looked at it, and it said, "God loves you. Jesus died for your sin." He said, "That blew my mind." He said, "I thought if God loves me enough to track me down here at the bottom of the ocean, then I'm willing to give in." That boy got saved. That's true. That's true. There was a man on a ship. They said somebody had given him a track, and he got mad and ripped it up and slung it out in the water. And the wind and the rain was blowing so hard, it blew back something stuck on his elbow right there, and he didn't even know it. That's a true story. And they said when it all got down, he was dried, and it said God right there on his elbow. Right there on his elbow. He got under conviction and got saved. Then another man, they said, this other fella had done the same thing. This other fella had, this other guy said he found a piece of a dollar bill in a bird nest. A bird had used it to build a nest, and he pulled it out, and it had a verse of scripture on it, wrote in a red pencil. Somebody had wrote a verse of scripture down on a dollar bill and lost it, got torn to pieces. A bird got it, built his nest, and he looked it up and it said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul?" And the guy got saved on it. I'm telling you, folks, that thing right there is powerful. It's alive, it's quick, it's still. Don't you let the devil tell you. I know you bus workers, you think, "Oh, I get out here and I beat my knuckles off now. These people ain't listening. It ain't." That's the devil telling you that. That's the devil telling you that. "Cast your bread on the waters. Thou shalt find it after many, many days." Amen. Look at verse 2. "Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. That means go to everybody and go to some more. That means do your best and then throw on some on top of that. "For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." Go to all of them. You don't know. You don't go to everybody's house. You don't know when somebody's going to die. You don't know when the next day their house might burn down, everybody in it. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8 would mean don't just go to the trailer parks. Go to the nice houses. Don't just go to the poor and down out. Go to the rich man. I did that one time. I preached up in Marion and I preached myself under conviction. And I said, we ought not to be out here just witnessing to poor people because it's easier to witness poor people and down out. They seem like they can't respond better. I said, but we owe it to the rich people to witness them. And I went to the biggest, nicest, richest house in Marion that I could find. Right up there above the shopping center, Rose's Shopping Center on the hill. And I said, I'm going there. I'm going to go knock on the door. Man, I went in there, them big old gates, you know, and everything. And I was went up there and went, tick, tick, tick. I was hoping nobody wouldn't come to the door. And they didn't. I knocked a little harder, you know, you know what? Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Them rich people need God too. They need the Lord too. Amen? They sure do. They sure do. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, that's two parts to that verse there. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Now here again, it's talking about the work of the Spirit. You can't never tell where it's going to rain, when it's going to rain, how deep it's going to get. God's in charge of that stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say it again and again and again? We're not responsible for the results. We're responsible for putting it out. Putting it out. God has to give the results. You can't make somebody get under conviction and get saved any more than you can make plants grow out of the ground and potatoes and tomatoes in your garden. You plant it, you sow it, you keep it watered and all that, but God has to give that increase. Boy, that puts us as just little workers in the garden. I can preach hard. I've been in services when I thought I preached hard and good and it was deader than 4 o'clock and people looking around and babies hollering and people sitting there asleep and everything. And then I preached other times when I thought, boy, I'm making the biggest mess ever was, and people turn white in the face and two or three get saved and them holding on to the pews like that. And I think, what in the world? You just don't know. You don't never know what God's going to do with that thing. You don't never know. But look at the second part of that verse. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. My, my. Normally, we took a look at that verse and said, if you want to die right, live right. In the place where the tree falleth, so shall it lie. If you're saved, you fall toward heaven. If you're lost, you fall toward hell. In the place where you can't change it after it's done and fail. One of the hardest things you ever tried to do is move a big old tree about that big when it's fell a certain way, like across your fence or something. Or it fell on my property. No, it fell on your property. I drag that thing around there and it's about that big around. It's there, the place where the tree falls, there shall it lie. You can't say, well, it fell over there. That thing fell right there. That's what they do at funerals. Preachers at funerals say, he fell that way. When everybody knows he fell the other way. Amen. There's this preacher preaching a funeral one time, and you know how preachers are guilty. I've been guilty of it myself. A lot of times you try to find something good to say about somebody. I mean, my goodness, you hate to say not something good about them. And the preacher, he's just bragging on this guy, and everybody knows he's mean as a devil. And he's bragging on what a good fella he was, and he's this, and he was that. And everybody's going, what? And finally, the wife punched the kid and said, go up there and see if that's your daddy in that thing. She thought, we've messed up and got in the wrong room here at the funeral home. It's somebody else's funeral. In the place where the tree falleth, so shall it lie. There it'll lie. You fall toward the north, people going to remember you just like you lived. You can't live for the devil all your life and then expect a preacher to get up and preach you into heaven. In the place where the tree falleth. Let me show you a verse of Scripture that illustrates this. If you don't believe it, Revelation chapter 22. Take your Bible and turn over to the book of Revelation chapter 22. And buddy, it's a judgment day, son, and I'm telling you, I thought about preaching on this verse sometime and say it's too late now, just leave it alone. Look at Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, which is filthy, let him be filthy still. You never thought you'd hear the Lord say that, did you? He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. You know what God's saying there? It's too late now. Ain't nothing you can do about it now. Ain't no use whining, saying I'm sorry and trying to repent now. If you're filthy, you're going to stay filthy. If you're righteous, you'll stay righteous. As the tree falleth, so shall it lie. That's a verse. Anybody want to say anything about that? Those two verses. That's how that King James English just clicks, brother. Those references.
That first verse, Jack Hiles made mention this in the sermon. He said, the first verse, he said back during the days of the Bible, they would take seeds and they would throw it out into the river, into the Nile River, and the seeds would embed itself along the banks of the river, and all the way down that Nile River, over 4,000 miles of it, there would be a harvest.
Yep.
For about 150 yards on both sides, and outside of that, it's just barren sand.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good illustration. All right. But look at verse 4. Now, here's what you got to watch out for. All this stuff I've been talking about, you've been saying, man, I'm going to get me some tracts and give them out. I'll find it after many days. Look at verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you're always looking at the wind, you ain't going to sow. You can't say, well, it's windy today. It'll blow the seeds away. You can't say, well, I believe it's going to be windy today. You can't say, I need to get my grass mowed Saturday so I can't go visiting. You can't say, I've been meaning to visit my uncle so-and-so, but, you know, I got this to do around the house. You observe the wind, you'll never sow. Listen, people, I could think of something every single week that I could be doing besides preaching or witnessing or telling somebody about the Lord. Are y'all even, I mean, I don't even know if you're hearing what I'm saying. There's always going to be something to keep you from putting out the Word of God. Half the time you'll say, the devil will work on you and say, well,
you ain't been living exactly like you should live. So you're a hypocrite. You have no business out here trying to tell other people. Just don't. That ain't God talking to you like that. If you wait till you're living perfect before you go out and witness, guess when you're going to witness? Never. Never. You ain't never going to witness. While you're waiting to get perfect, go ahead and go out there and witness somebody. I believe the Lord will forgive you. Amen. I believe it'd be all right. I mean, I believe you don't worry about your other sins. Why would you worry about that one? Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. Listen, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that observeth the wind, the clouds will not reap. Like that one time, this guy said, have you planted your potatoes this year? He said, no, I'm not planting no potatoes this year. I'm afraid the beetles will get them. And he said, have you planted your some other crop? You know, he said, no, the boll weevils will get it. Has he ever planted this crop? And everything I asked him, they said, have you planted? He said, no, there's going to be locusts this year. I'm not going to do it. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm playing it safe. He ain't going to have no crop. He's too scared to sow. There's too many Christians playing it safe. You say, well, I better not witness because I don't know the Scripture good enough. Well, I better not witness because there's some things in my life I need to get right first. I better not witness because you're observing the wind, brother. You're playing it safe. You sure ain't going to win nobody like that. At least try. And I've heard Dr. Ruckman say and other preachers say over and over and over, there is no way that everybody in here, if you tried consistently, day in and day out, and day in and day out, that sooner or later you couldn't get somebody to bite, like get up a fish and get right. Somebody to God.
Right.
Every one of us. I'm that's a thrill to me to know that you know it works like that. Look at verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. My soul, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. See, you don't know. You don't know when you're out witnessing. You don't know the way of the Spirit. What does that remind y'all of? Isn't that amazing how that John 3 pops in your head? Are y'all thinking what I'm thinking? Jesus heard that the womb, born in the womb, born again, second time. The Spirit goes where it listeth, and thou canst not tell the sound thereof. You liable to stay out there right now tonight and say, boy, it's pretty evening, and all of a sudden the breeze start blowing. I felt it the other day. Just a breeze come out. That's the way the Spirit of God is. You never know when He's liable to just blow through. I love it when He does it, boy. I love it. And you can try to work it up on your own, and it don't happen. But about the time you think, boy, the Lord's forgot you, here He comes. You don't know how the works of the Spirit goes. Your job is to put it out. I've tried that. I've tried calculating it in my head. Now I'll do this message and I'll preach this in this revival, and that night we'll have a lot of lost people there and everything. And the Lord showed me over and over and over. You preachers know what I'm talking about. You can't do it like that. You can't put a formula down and say, I can do this, and people get saved. It's the work of God. It's the work of God. That's why we should be so honored and thrilled when God does move in our services and people get saved. Glory to God. It's the work of God. You can't make a bones grow in a womb of a mama. Look here, I noticed this evening when I was studying this. Look at verse 5. You don't know how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Notice the Bible calls that unborn thing a child. It's not a fetus, not a mass of unwanted tissue. God called it a child, even while the bones were growing in the womb. Amen? Somebody want to say something about that verse there, about it?
I just think in the context of soul winning and the Word of God, it's talking about a child being born.
Amen. That's loaded, boy. That's loaded. That verse 5 is loaded. You don't know what the way of the Spirit is or how the bones do grow in the womb of a child. You know, the Spirit of God can start working in a church. The Lord could start be moving in our church right now, and you become, I don't mean this irreverent, but pregnant. The Bible said when Zion travails, she'll bring forth sons and daughters. A church literally becomes when we suffer and we fast and we pray, and then bang, one day them babies are born. That's the way it goes. Amen. Anybody else right quick want to comment on that? I don't know about you, but that just, the old preacher said that blesses my socks off. I don't know how that ever happened. I ain't never got my socks blessed off. But that's a blessing. That blesses me. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. In the context, isn't that neat that this was wrote several hundred years before the New Testament, and that bones growing in the womb and that spirit moving and all that is right in there with John 3.
Yeah.
You ain't no way man could have wrote this Bible. No way. Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, it tells you here to keep doing it. Look at verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or where they both be shall alike be good. Amen? You never know. You never know. In the morning sow your seed. That means do it in the morning, do it in the evening. That means do it when you're young and do it when you're old. A lot of people get 60 years old, 70 years old, and they say, well, I get backslid. Don't get backslid because you finally reach 70 or 75 or 80. Keep putting it out. You say, well, I just can't get out and go like I used to. Get on the telephone. I knew an older man down in South Carolina. He got on the telephone. He just called up people. You know, the Lord loves you. You know, talk, invite people to church. Just on the telephone. In the morning, so you see. You young people. You young men, all y'all in our new teenage class, sow your seed, man. Get you some tracts. Go out here and give it to somebody at school. You're sowing seed. You teenagers, you're going to college this fall, sow some seed. You say, well, they'll laugh at you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You'll get a reward in heaven for that. And in the evening, don't withhold your hand. Put out, everybody in here, figure out some way to put out the Word of God. You know what you ladies ought to do? You should do. If you're not in the bus ministry, get together, get you somebody in here, and once a month, get together and just go to one of these rest homes. Just walk down the hallway, walk in there and say, hey, we're from Shining Light Baptist Church, and we want to just come and talk to you and pray with you. And sow some seed. You find, I visited a lady just recently, and she said, I'm so glad you came. It just tickled her to death, laying there in a sick bed. I'm so glad you came. Listen, don't just live your whole life wrapped up around you. Get out there and put the Word of God out. Lord will bless you for it. Anybody, right quick.
Amen.
We'll hurry. All right, look at this verse. This is a good one. He truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Wow, isn't life wonderful? But he always does that. Solomon always does that. He'll get out there for a minute and then he shock back into reality. He'll say, boy, isn't the sun beautiful? It's a wonderful day. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. It would be nice if everything was great all the time. It would be nice if life is like TV presents it, where you live, quote, happily ever after. Wouldn't it be nice if you could grow up to a certain age, fall in love, everything would be like, only one dumb enough to believe that is people that's not saved and young ladies and some young men. It ain't never happily ever after. It ain't never bliss on this. I mean, we can have good times and God wants you to grow up and get married and be happy. God, that's God's will. But listen, you better remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Listen, remember the days of darkness. Arthritis, bursitis, heart attack, cancer, car wreck, crutches, wheelchair, lose your eyes, go dim, ears start going out. You better remember the days of darkness. There'll be many. Don't everybody shout all at the same time. That's awful. That's the forecast. Did you know what the forecast is for you and me? It's worse from here on out. It's worse. You reach a certain point in your health. Listen, brother, I ain't kidding myself. I ain't Superman. I can't cheat it forever. I've cheated a long time. I can't cheat. Sooner or later, things are going to start breaking down. This old body's going to go. You're not going to stay here and be healthy and happy forever. Something's going to happen. You better remember the days of darkness. You better remember it's going to get dark at your house. You better remember you're going to get a phone call. Something terrible's happened. Somebody's been killed. You say, Brother Danny, would you hush? The Bible said, remember the day. You know what that's for? Keep you from getting too high, too big for your britches, and getting too wicked. You get too wicked, brother, if everything goes right all the time. I'm telling you, you will. If a man lived many years, you better remember the days of darkness. I don't care who you show me, anybody on this earth, sooner or later, dark days come to your house. And you just as well be, enjoy your good days, enjoy the light, enjoy the beholding the sun, all of that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, you better remember, hard times are coming. I think all the time, you know, I've had a few hard times. I have, not as bad as some people. I ain't got no complaints. God's been very good to me. And I think about my girls over there tonight. All three of them's healthy, as far as we know. Three healthy grandkids, all of that, you know, and everything. But I'm not living in a dream world. Sooner or later, something bad's going to happen. And you don't get through it, and I don't get through it, and none of us get through life without sooner or later something. You can't find nobody in that Bible. That's why enjoy the good days while you can, witness while you can, preach while you can, sing in the choir while you can. The day's going to come when you can't. The day's going to come when some of you are sitting in a rest home or you're laying in a hospital bed when you'd say, I'd give anything in the world. If I was healthy, I'd go on bus route Saturday. If I was healthy, I'd go sing in that choir. You will. It's going to happen. You better do it now because the days of darkness shall be many. I don't mean to sound pessimistic. That, you know, everybody wants reality TV. Let's leave life like it really is. That's the way it really is. It's good. It's good to behold the sun. It's good to have a good time. Man, I'm all for it. I love to cut up, and I love to laugh, and I love to joke around. Man, I love it. But deep inside me, there's always something saying, you know, you better enjoy this while you can, because it ain't always going to be this way. Amen? That's awful to tell you, but that's the handwriting on the wall. Look at verse 9. We'll finish these last two verses right quick, and we'll go. Rejoice, O young man, in the youth. Man, this is a great verse. All you boys can shout on this. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Do whatever you want to. In the sight of your eyes. Glory to God. Woo! Just live it up, man. Enjoy life. But, here we go again. Here we go again. Now, that would be a great verse if it wasn't for that but. That would be a great verse. Boy, you could shout. Wouldn't that be a great verse? God said for me to do in the ways of my heart and the sight of mine eyes, eat, drink, and be merry. Woo! But know thou that for all these things God will bring into judgment. Ugh.
That's right.
Ugh. That puts a different twist on it. That makes me say, ugh. The Lord always does that, don't he? By the time you think he's going to let you live in sin, he'll say, but he ain't going to let you live in sin. He ain't going to let you. He ain't going to do it. But remember all these things God will bring you into judgment. Now, you're going to face judgment with everything. And you know what you need? You know what you need if you're in trouble? If you're in trouble and you got to go face a judge over here in Superior Court in Burke County, you know what you need? You need an attorney, brother. You need a lawyer. Somebody can go between you and that judge. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God's going to bring us all into judgment one of these days, and you need an attorney. Thank God I got one. I've already got one secured. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm counting on him to get up there and plead my case. Glory to God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He took my case. Remember that song we used to sing? He took my case. Amen. Anybody want to say anything right quick? Verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Get rid of your, the better, more sin you can get rid of in your life, the better off you'll be. All these young people out here fooling around with sin, messing around with drugs, alcohol, all this stuff, you think you can do that and not pay a price for it? Sooner or later. Boys getting out here getting car wrecks and fights and everything, you think you're tough and Superman when you're 18, 20, 23, and 5, 28, something like that. Whether you're about 40, 45, it'll start coming back on you. Start coming back on you. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Somebody said it like this. Youth, listen to me and I'm done. Youth is heat without light. And old age is light without heat. What a dirty trick. Youth is heat with no light. Old age is light and no heat. By the time you finally got enough sense to know how to live, you ain't able. Amen. My mom used to say that all the time. She said, when you finally learn how to live, it's time to die. And that's just the way this old... You know why that is? So you won't have your hope down here in this world. Set your affections up there, people. Something better's coming up ahead. Forget this world. It don't matter. Let her go. And brother, hang on to what's up yonder. He'll bless you for it. I don't know if am I just in a spiritual mood, but this is blessing my socks off. I don't know if y'all getting anything out of it or not. That's a new saying. That just trickles me, I'm telling you. Anybody want to say anything right quick? Anybody? All right, let's bow our heads. I want you to ask the Lord right now, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see stuff like that in the Scripture. Thank you for this rich study of the Scripture and the Word of God. And thank God for your advocate, your lawyer, your attorney that's pleading your case to God Almighty. If there's one here tonight, you can say, Brother Danny, I need to put away some evil from my flesh.